The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors. Got questions concerning elder or estate law? Attorney Mike Connors has the answer. He's been recognized as one of New York's top lawyers by New York Magazine and brings nearly 40 years of experience to the table. His office number is 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Here's Mike Connors.
We are gathered here on hallowed ground.
Welcome to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. If this is the first time you heard the show, hey, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. Now, the first part of the show, we talk about estate planning and elder law. And the idea behind estate planning is to pass assets from one generation to the next, paying the least amount of taxes we need to pay legally, avoiding going through court, avoiding probate, and as far as elder law is concerned, trying to save assets from nursing home bills. Now, we just had a series of seminars this past month, and we're not planning to do any more seminars for the rest of the year because if you get bad weather, sometimes it causes confusion. People show up, don't show up. So we don't usually do seminars during the winter months. But if you have a private group that would like to hear us speak, and it's, you know, it would be no big deal canceling if it came up, please give us a call. And we do speak to private groups. We do not charge for it. Sometimes people say, well, how much are you going to charge us for? No, we don't charge for it. It's a public service. But if you want a senior citizens group, a social club, church group, synagogue, to hear what we have to say, please give us a call. We're more than happy to do it. Usually we'd like to have at least a full month's notice so we can fit it into our schedule, especially if it's during a work week. But again, we're more than happy to do seminars. We've been doing it for years and years. Last couple of years, we haven't been doing a lot of seminars for not-for-profit groups and organizations and things like that. And even if you have a business and you want us to do a seminar, we're, again, more than happy to do it. Give us a call at 718-238-6500. Now, last week, we were talking to Nicole about, you know, some estate planning gone wrong. And we talked about Kobe Bryant. And I'm not sure it was estate planning got wrong because sometimes people are too quick to criticize. He wrote specifically the names of his children that he wanted in his will. And the problem was he had a child born after who was not included in the plan, and that led to a court proceeding. What was the intent and what was the, you know, agreement? But again, maybe it was his intent to write it that way because maybe he had non-marital children he didn't want to include in his plan. And listen, again, if we talk about this ahead of time, we can solve that problem. You say, well, I'm not sure about my son. He may have some children I don't know about. Well, we can put in there certain questions or answers that if the child is born out of marriage, a non-marital child, that child's not included in the plan. We can say generally all children are included in the plan, or we can name the children and say afterborn children will be included in the plan. But again, if it's an afterborn child, it's not marital. And I know some of you, you know, I know a lot of our clients, you know, they come in and say, you know, how many children do you have, so forth, how many grandchildren? Well, my son's not married. In today's world, that doesn't mean he doesn't have children. And you know, we deal with different generations and different people have different ways of looking at things, but you never know. And again, last week we just talked about briefly how we had some World War II veterans who had children, non-marital children. When they were in World War II and when they were in the service, they had children, and nobody knew about them until Ancestry.com came along. So what's your example of estate planning gone wrong today, Nicole?
Well, maybe Kobe Bryant didn't get it wrong, but I would definitely say that Larry King did get it wrong. One thing to take note of, guys, is when you're doing your estate planning in the middle of a divorce, do not write a piece of paper to undo your prior will. Okay? Make sure you get it done right. And here's Mr. Connors to tell us why.
Well, there's such a thing as a holographic will. And a holographic will is a will written entirely in your own handwriting. And there are different formalities in different states. New York State generally does not recognize a holographic will unless you're in a mariner at sea. I mean, these laws were written, you know, hundreds of years ago. Or, you know, let's say in the military, in a time of war, holographic wills generally are not recognized. But sometimes you still got to look at it, because generally the law is that if a will is good in the state where you prepare the will, according to the laws of the state where you prepare the will, assign the will, or it's good according to the state of your residence, then the will is valid. So you have two cracks at the apple in some cases. I give one example. One time we had, as Mel has mentioned on the show a few times, a holographic will is good in the Philippines. So we once had a gentleman who did a holographic will in, of all places, Toronto, Canada, where holographic wills are good, but he lived in New York. Well, a holographic will, if presented in New York, ordinarily would not be admitted to probate. But if you can show that he signed the will in Toronto, Canada, which at least at that time, you know, recognized holographic wills, we can get it probated. Now, how do we know that he signed the will in Canada? Because he put a date on the will. And more than a few family members remembered that that was the time of a family reunion. And so whatever date he put down, everybody knew they were in Toronto for a family reunion. And so we're able to prove that the will was signed up in Canada, in, you know, Ontario, which recognized at the time holographic wills. I don't know if they do now or not. And so we're able to get that will admitted to probate, which are a couple of things to learn from this example. One, always look at things, you know, do we have an alternative? We have another way to go? Because too many lawyers, I think, look at things only from a quick perspective. New York doesn't allow holographic wills. This will's not good. But then you got to look at the law, which says that a will is good if it's signed in accordance with the law of the state where you reside, which in this case it wouldn't have been good because it was New York law, or the state where you executed the will, which again in this case was good because he was in Ontario, Canada, and at the time they recognized holographic wills. Again, a holographic will is a will written in your handwriting and signed by you. In some states, it needs to be witnessed. Some states, it doesn't. Now, part of the problem, I think, with Larry King is if you do a holographic will, in order to be valid, you have to write in the date. And apparently he didn't, or at least there was evidence that he didn't. And so there was a huge settlement. And, of course, he was in the middle of a divorce. Now, if you're in the middle of a divorce, and I assume Larry King was worth a few dollars, if you're in the middle of a divorce and you have an estate, you know, let's just not write something on a piece of paper which may or may not be valid, because I know most people in the middle of a divorce do not want their spouses to inherit from them. And, of course, this is one thing that I do tell a lot of people that are in the middle of a divorce, that they should do a will right away. Because, yes, that person may have a claim against your estate if you're not divorced and you pass away, but at least you can limit their claims and limit the – and you can certainly put in a position where they're not the executor of your estate. You know, because a lot of times when you do a will, you say, I leave my spouse as executor of the estate. And, of course, if you're in the middle of divorce, you may not want that spouse to be executor of the estate. In some cases, you do. Let's say that spouse is the mother or father of your children, and you want that person to administer the estate on behalf of your children who maybe are young or underage or disabled or whatever. So, you know, that's where that, like, there's not a right answer to anything. You got it ahead of time. You can't prejudge. You got to talk the situation over. But no matter what, 99% of the people who are in the middle of a divorce, I am sure, do not want to leave the bulk of their estate to their spouse. And with Larry King, there's a possibility. Of course, California doesn't have an estate tax, so maybe it wasn't so bad. But assuming he had more than $12 million and he had a federal tax, it might have been possible to benefit the spouse, to do a plan to benefit the spouse and cut the taxes for the children and really not be that bad a result. Now, of course, if you're thinking about getting divorced, you're probably not thinking about, hey, what if I pass away before the divorce? But Larry King obviously thought about it a little bit because he took the time to do a holographic will and screwed it up. And apparently there was a settlement between the spouse and the children. And of course, since Larry King was married seven times, I assume the children were not, she was not the mother of too many of the children. So
I think that's definitely fair to say.
Yeah.
But going back to the point of holographic wills and doing your own wills, what's the difference again? Remind our listeners what the difference is again between a will done by a lawyer and a will done by somebody in their bedroom.
Well, it depends who's in their bedroom, I guess. But if you know, you do a will on your own, you put it in your own handwriting. Again, in New York does not recognize holographic wills. A holographic will is a will that's done in your own handwriting. And in California, it says entirely in your own handwriting in New York, but it's got to be, you know, they don't recognize it. So depending on the circumstances, you know, most states, I think right now they don't recognize it unless there are exceptions like New York. It's the statute was written 100 years ago. You're in the military in time of war, you know, like there's a soldier in the battlefield and he's writing a quick note. Yeah, that could be recognized. And our Western fans, we did have a brief show on this, and in The Searchers, Ethan Edwards writes out a holographic will toward the middle end of the movie where he leaves everything to his nephew by adoption, and the little dispute because he was disinheriting his niece who was living with the Comanche. And of course, that one of the conflicts of the movie. But and we did some research, and in 1868 in Texas, a holographic will was good. So the will that Ethan read for you Searcher fans, and if you haven't seen The Searchers, go see The Searchers. Nicole, have you seen it?
I have not. It's on my list of movies to watch, as per your recommendation.
I'm dumbfounded that you haven't watched The Searchers.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of things I can make you dumbfounded about.
Because yeah. We did have, we did have Lana Wood on the show, who was in The Searchers, and of course Patrick Wayne. And of course Lana Wood said it was it was her first real movie, but it was the greatest movie she's ever been associated with. And Patrick Wayne is a little bit more, blasé about it or whatever, but. You know, he still recognizes that it's critically acclaimed as a great movie. I think one of the reasons we're blasé about it because his father was in it and his godfather, John Ford, directed it. Mm. And, you know, sometimes, Michael, maybe we have to start seeing what's up with the John Wayne Cancer.
Absolutely,
Foundation.
Yeah. We need to do a double check because we're going to be, at some point, we've got to get a new commercial in for them because they've now partnered with Texas Tech for the Big Cure initiative. And so, you know, it's been revived. There's a reason you haven't been hearing the commercials on air if you haven't been updated on that. So, yeah, no, we definitely need to check up, see what's going on.
Well, here's, you know, for those of you who don't know, and I think most of you listen to the show regularly probably know, but some years back in January, December 31st, the John Wayne Cancer Institute was part of St. John's Providence Hospital in Santa Monica, California. On January 2nd, the hospital took down the name of the John Wayne Cancer Institute. And all the employees there, whatever, they were not notified. Nobody was notified ahead of time. Because of wokeness and some article where John Wayne was quoted, and who's to say the quote was even accurate? But, you know, I know a lot of times I've been quoted in newspapers and they've completely screwed it up, you know, even though it's usually harmless.
Yeah, I've been harmlessly misquoted in newspapers too, so.
You know, it's just human nature. Newspaper reporters don't always get everything right. But in any event, because of wokeness, they took his name down, the John Wayne Cancer Institute, and, they've been raising money off his name for 40 years, and all of a sudden they decide not to. So some of the internships or whatever was taken over by Texas Tech, which the chancellor of Texas Tech is Beth's brother, Ted Mitchell. So he took some of the cancer internships over, and they're calling it the big cure right now. And hopefully we're going to have a fundraiser or something sometime next year. We'll see what happens. And, you know, and the members of the John Wayne family that we've met a fair amount, really are some of the nicest people you're going to run into. You know, they're not phony. They're regular people. Patrick Wayne is probably one of the smartest people you'd ever talk to in person. He's really a very smart guy. And some of the doctors at the John Wayne Cancer Institute told me that when they were doing, you know, cutting edge research, they could explain it to Pat just like he was another doctor and he understood it. And Patrick really is a very smart guy. I mean, he plays a little bit like he's just an actor, which is what I heard him speak one time in person at Legatus. He's just an actor, which his sister said, well, that's what my father used to say, I'm just an actor. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an interesting comment. But hopefully we're going to have more word on the John Wayne Cancer Foundation instead of Institute right now, because it's not the John Wayne Cancer Institute. That was abolished by St. John's, which they were associated with for about 40 years. But in any event, if you have not seen the movie The Searchers, I strongly recommend you see the movie The Searchers. And if you don't, it could cast negatively on your future career at Connors and Sullivan.
Oh, would you stop with that?
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the help.
And by the way, for the fans of The Searchers, when we saw John Wayne's granddaughter, Nita LaCava Swift, we were just talking in general, and I don't know how we got to it, but we were talking about Hank Warden, who played Mose in The Searchers. And she said that when her father was dying, Hank Warden would come to the hospital every day to say hello to John Wayne, who put him in a lot of parts in a lot of different movies over the years. And I know John Wayne did that to a lot of the old actors and whatever. But the thing is, he appreciated and he thanked him. Because I know from different experiences that sometimes when you do a lot of favors for people and you're on your way out, people forget about it. How many times do we have clients that did 100,000 things for their relatives and friends, and then at the end, nobody visits them? Nobody's at the funeral.
And Hank Warden, didn't he work with David Lynch?
Yes, he was with David Lynch. He was the I don't know what you call him, waiter, room service guy in Twin Peaks. And, of course, he says, thank you kindly.
For some of our slightly younger listeners, you might recognize him from that.
But Hank Warden gave a great performance in The Searchers playing Mose. And, you know, like I said, it was nice to hear from Anita that Hank Warden would visit her grandfather every day when he was dying. And he'd always be there. And it's nice to hear. John Wayne obviously did a lot of favors for him, getting him parts in Hollywood, but he remembered John Wayne. So it's nice to know there's some good people out there. In any event, I think we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors, accompanied right now by Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
And my son, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining us.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home? What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors & Sullivan, in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, or connorsandsullivan.com.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older and are finding it harder to pay off debt, or how about enjoying your retirement years with less stress? A home equity conversion mortgage may be the answer for you and your family. Hi, this is Frank Melia, a certified mortgage planner, and I've helped countless homeowners all over the tri-state area tap into a little or a lot of their home equity so they can use it right now. Give me a call so our team here at Contour Mortgage can show you how the loan program works and how much you and your family may qualify for. My job is to help you find the best solution for your retirement goals. I do this by educating homeowners with straightforward information and answers. It's free to call and speak with me, Frank Melia, to determine if this mortgage program might be able to help you and your loved ones now. Call and speak with me. I'll answer your questions and help you decide if a reverse mortgage is right for you and your family. Make the call now, 888-954-7463. Once again, that's 888-954-7463, and you could be on your way to a better retirement. Frank Melia, NMLS number 62591, Contour Mortgage Corporation, NMLS number 34384, 990 Stewart Avenue, Suite 660, Garden City, New York, 11530, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Department of Financial Services.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. And we got a full house right now, accompanied by my son, Michael, behind the switchboard, my wife, Beth.
Hello.
And Gladys. And Gladys, do you have an announcement to make?
Yes, I do. Today, I passed the July 22 bar exam.
Congratulations.
And what does that mean?
Well, at this point, I have to submit my papers to the state and wait to be admitted as an attorney.
Okay. How long is it taking right now? Any ideas? COVID slowed you up?
I think every department is different, but I would say maybe 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think back. I passed the bar in July and was admitted in February.
The courts are kind of backed up right now, I think, because of COVID.
Yeah. All right. So, what question has come up over the last few months that you've been here at Connors & Sullivan that you think the audience would like to hear?
Sure. So one common question is, what is a living will?
Okay. And, you know, that's asked a lot, a living will, and people confuse what a living will is. They confuse a living will with a will, which a will is a document that disposes of assets in your name alone when you pass away. That's not a living will. Also, some people confuse a living will with a living trust. A living trust is you put assets in the trust to avoid probate and usually get the assets out tax-free. And then there's also, you know, the healthcare proxy, and the living will kind of supplements the healthcare proxy. Living will is usually a statement. It's not legally binding, but it's a statement of how you wish to be treated, usually in the event of a last illness. So, you know, if I'm terminally ill, if I have cancer, if I have a heart attack, I don't want to be resuscitated. That might be the, you know, the question. And one of the hardest questions in a living will, which, you know, some people dance around it, and some people sign living wills without really knowing what they're signing. So the question is, let's say if you're in a coma, and I'm putting it bluntly because that's the way I think it should be put, do you want to be starved to death, or do you want tubular feeding? And a lot of people just, they don't want to make that decision, but if you don't, there's almost no sense in having a living will. Now, you know, let's say you're in a coma, you can't eat naturally. Well, either they're going to give you some kind of intravenous or tubular feeding, or you're going to die. So that's the question. And it's not an easy question to answer. And you can talk to different doctors and get different opinions. Some doctors say it's a very painful death. And it's certainly a very painful death on the family members who are there. If they withdraw hydration and nutrition from you, you know, your body shrivels up and dies. And it's not a pleasant experience for those who are left there. And I know, and some people say, well, I don't be tied up with tubes or whatever. So that's a question you have to make. Now, from a religious perspective, you know, the Catholics and the conservative Jewish tradition is that you do not starve somebody to death. You feed them and let them die a natural death, not, you know, end it right away with starvation. But it's a personal decision. And a lot of times people, you know, write things in a living will. They just take a form and they sign it and they say this and that. And you ask them, do you really want this? And a lot of the times the answer is no. And there's some religious people that will sign a living will that will contradict the tenets of their faith. So, and it's not binding. So it's not the biggest problem in the world, whatever. But some people think I need a living will because my children need to know what to do. No, you can talk it over. And it's very hard to make a decision when it's a theoretical in the future. You know, if you're 98 years old and you have cancer, I think it's pretty easy to say, if I have a heart attack, I don't want to be resuscitated, because if you have a heart attack and they break your bones and you're trying to rehab at 98 and your bones are fragile and brittle, that may not be a pleasant thought to go through. So there's not a right answer ahead of time. But if you're 70 years old and otherwise healthy, if you have a heart attack, you do want to be resuscitated. And there are people that have had heart attacks, been resuscitated, lived 10, 15 good years. So a living will is a statement of your wishes, usually in the event of a terminal illness. If this happens, I don't want to be on a respirator, and I don't think anybody wants me on a respirator for an extended period of time. And I don't think there's not, I could be wrong, but I don't think there's any major religion that dictates that you have to go on a respirator. The question is whether the body is forced into starvation by the withdrawal of hydration and nutrition. It's not a pleasant subject, but it's one of those things you may want to discuss with your children. But one thing you should have a healthcare proxy. So you have a family member, usually a spouse or a child, who can make medical decisions on your behalf if you can't speak for yourself. And that's extremely important to have. And that is a legally recognized document. I recommend that everybody who's got family members who can make that decision, you do a healthcare proxy. If you don't have family members, you still may want to take a look at it and choose the person that most agrees with your philosophy in life to make those decisions if you can't make them yourself. And one of the advantages of having a healthcare proxy, that person's on your healthcare proxy, can check your medical records out to try to make a decision. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a weird set of circumstances where you have a family member and they can't technically get to your medical records to discuss, you know, what to do with your doctor. And a lot of old-time general practice doctors will talk to the family members. But sometimes you're in an institution and a hospital doctor or a nursing home doctor, they follow the rules strictly and they say, well, I can't talk to you. You don't have a healthcare proxy.
It's put into the computer. You know, they don't have a choice.
Right. So, and if you do a healthcare proxy with us, if you get sick years from now, we can just scan and send a copy of the healthcare proxy to the hospital. If one of your children says, mom's in the hospital, we can scan, if it's in our system, if we did it, we can scan the healthcare proxy and send it to the hospital. So what's the other question that you brought up today from the list we have and people sent us?
So a common question is, what's the big deal about probate?
Well, that was harder to answer a few years ago, but right now, you don't want to go through the court system. You don't want to go through probate. You know, years ago, let's say you had two kids and they got along and you had a will and you left it to the two kids and they both signed a consent to the will, maybe it would take a couple of months to get through probate, which if you had a house to sell, usually by the time the buyers got their mortgage, you could be able to close on the property, and sometimes you can get a court order if, you know, there was some delay. And you know, like even back then, there could be delays that you don't foresee. For the sake of argument, let's say somebody, when you passed away, they took the staples out of your will to make a photocopy. Didn't necessarily know any better. Well, then that's going to be a delay because the court's going to look at it. Did somebody tamper with the will? Did somebody rip out one page and put another page in? And so the witnesses to the original will may have to come into court and testify. And even in the best of circumstances, nothing happens in the court quickly. It's not like, hey, you know, they find this out on Monday, the witnesses come in on Tuesday, and Wednesday's resolved. No. You know, they find it Monday, they find that the staples have been removed for the will, and they do look at it, and you can tell because if there are holes in the pieces of paper, if there's holes in the backing to the will, then, you know, the witnesses are brought in, and it's got to be a scheduled hearing. So if something happened in, you know, beginning of November, that scheduled hearing might be January, February of next year. And that could cause a delay. If somebody wrote on the will, you know, you just made a notation, you had a grandchild born after the date you did the will, and for some reason you want to leave that grandchild in your will or something, and you write on your will, and it was properly witnessed at the time, but then you made an addition after. Well, again, there's going to be a hearing. Was this handwriting, was this change to the will made in front of the witnesses, or was it just done after? And again, there's a hearing, and, you know, sometimes it's not that easy to get the witnesses, depending on who the witnesses to the will were. So there are all sorts of red tape. But right now, if some of you have read the Daily News and the New York Post or whatever, there was one judge in Brooklyn who didn't sign a single court order for 18 months. And she has not been removed. She's still collecting her salary, but her cases have been removed for her. And things are moving, obviously, better than they were. But that means, for the sake of argument, you own a house. You leave your house through your will. And you leave it to your two children. They both get along. There's no fighting. There's no problem. What's the big deal with probate? Well, you could be sitting there. The kids could be sitting there with a buyer to the house and have to wait 2 years for the court to sign an order to allow you to close on that property. And 2 years is a long time, especially if you got a mortgage on the property and you're paying the mortgage each month. Or the worst is when you have a co-op and you're paying the maintenance and you're paying the maybe a mortgage or something like that, and the equity in the co-op is dwindling down to nothing while you're waiting for a judge to sign an order to sell the co-op. What do you do in those cases? Well, ordinarily, you put your real estate into a trust. And basically, with a trust, it works like a bank account in trust for. It works like an insurance policy with the beneficiary. The beneficiaries of the trust agreement can sell your house a couple of days after you're gone, as soon as they get a death certificate. There's no court proceeding. There's no probate. Capital gains taxes are wiped out by your death. It's called a stepped-up basis. So in other words, if you have $1 million house, you put it in a trust today, you die 5 years from today, 2 or 3 days after you're gone, when your children get a death certificate, they can sell the house. They can sell the house tax-free, up to $6 million per person meaning from the parents' point of view. And again, I have the tendency to talk about parents and children in estate planning because 90% of our plans involve parents and children, but the same principle applies if it's an uncle or aunt to a son or daughter. The laws are a little different in New Jersey. Like, it goes out tax-free to children in New Jersey, but it doesn't go out tax-free to nephews and nieces in New Jersey. But assuming you live in New York, your estate is under $6 million, there's no tax. And if you're married, that's an estate that's $6 million for husband, $6 million for wife, if you do it properly. So we don't want to go through court. We don't want the delays of going through court. If you don't care about your children and you say, okay, let them sort it out after I'm gone, fine. If that's your philosophy, you can do that. But our job is to give you the right advice to make it easy for your children after you're gone. That's the job. We want to avoid probate. We want to avoid taxes. And, you know, if God forbid you go into a nursing home, we want to save your house from a nursing home. And we do that by doing an irrevocable trust. An irrevocable trust means the house, for the most part, goes to your children. You can change the beneficiaries between your children, but you need one of your children to sign with you. It's kind of like a partnership. The parents can't sell the house without the children. The children can't sell the house without the parents. It's you got to work together. But the parents can fire the children and put somebody else in place as, you know, they're part of the partnership agreement. So Gladys, okay, so Tell the audience a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up? Where do you live right now?
So I grew up and I was born in Brooklyn. I still live here. I went to Cardozo Law School. I graduated in May and I took my bar in July, which I just passed. And now I'm just interested in learning as much as I can about trust and estates. And I'm happy to be doing it here at Connors and Sullivan.
Hooray! We're glad you're here.
What? Let me ask you something. It's only a few months, obviously, but what have you learned about the clients and that you didn't expect, let's say, when you got out of law school?
I think one of the biggest things I learned is I kind of had an expectation that only wealthier families need a will or a trust, but that's not what I saw here in practice. People with all different kinds of incomes come in and different situations, and at the end of the day, everyone does need, at a minimum, a will.
Yeah, because no matter what, let's say, I know this happens all the time, and a younger couple sometimes would say to me, we don't need a will because we don't really have any assets, but maybe they have children under the age of 18 years. And, you know, God forbid you die in an accident. Who's going to take care of those children? Who's going to manage the money for them? Who's going to take care of that accident case? You going to say something, Beth?
Yeah, 9/11. There were so many younger people in the towers. And, you know, they thought, you know, you think you're going to live forever when you're in your 20s and 30s. And it just doesn't work out.
And speaking about 9/11, there are a lot of people right now, we need their wills to collect proceeds from the victim's compensation fund if they lived, you know, below Canal Street or worked there during that time period. So, you know, they're class action lawsuits. And if you passed away, your heirs need a will to collect those assets. Now, if there is no will, they can apply to be administrator of the estate if there's no will and it goes to the next of kin by law. But nonetheless, it's still easier if you have a will to try to collect those assets. So everybody really, for the most part, should have a will. You don't have any assets. You have children under the age of 18. You need to appoint a guardian for them. You don't have major assets. All your assets are joint or in trust, and you don't think you need a will because there's nothing else out there. But something will pop up, again, like a victim's compensation claim. Some of our servicemen that served in Camp Lejeune, if they don't outlive, everybody's seen the commercials with lawsuits on that. If they don't outlive the lawsuit, well, the proceeds of that lawsuit will go through the will. So everybody should have a will. You think you got everything covered, things can happen. You know, we used to talk sometimes about plane crashes. Plane crashes don't happen really that often if you're, you know, in commercial airlines, but I do know a fair amount of people have lost family members in small plane crashes. And, you know, car accidents, cars are not as dangerous as they used to be, but still things occasionally happen. So good planning. You should have a will. If you own real estate, the best way to avoid probate on real estate and get the assets out tax-free is through a trust. And, you know, we just had a series of seminars, but one of the worst things you can do is put your son or daughter's name on the deed. So many bad things can happen. One, it could be disaster for capital gains taxes and taxes. Two, you know, something happens to your son. You put his name on the deed. He's married. The house goes to his wife. And then all of a sudden, you've lost complete control of your own house and belongs to his wife. Your son gets sued. He gets involved in a lawsuit. The people that sue him put a lien on against your house. People get in trouble in bankruptcy with the IRS. There are liens against the house that you don't want against your house. You know, the best way to do it is to do a trust agreement if you own any kind of real estate at all. Now, the only problem is if you have a co-op, we have to go through the co-op board to get permission. That takes a little bit longer than we might like, but it's still better going through that co-op board and getting permission and, you know, getting the job done before you're alive than after you pass away, because then you got to go to court on top of all the bureaucracy you might have with the co-op. Were you going to say something, Beth?
Oh, my goodness. When you were talking about with the children, they could lose their laptop. And what if you get sued there?
They could lose their laptop and get sued?
Uh-oh. That was a very nasty political reference.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, that's just what I thought of. And I was sitting here trying to keep my mouth shut saying, don't say it. Don't say it. And now you made me say it. Oh, my goodness. But you could get sued, I guess, maybe.
Okay. One last comment, Gladys. I mean, do you know who Joe Piscopo is? I know you've met him now.
You'll never forget.
Okay. But you didn't know who he was a couple of months ago.
No. But okay. I did meet him, and he's great, and he's a great singer, guitar player. He's talented in many ways.
Okay. So, you know.
Did you meet anybody else that, you know, interested you that?
Through
that
the radio day? Station?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually met Alan Dershowitz at an event a couple of weeks ago. You know, we both went to Brooklyn College together, so we bonded over that.
You didn't go to Brooklyn College with Alan.
Not together, but we both went there. So he was a nice surprise. And, you know, Mr. Connors is very well connected, and it's really nice going to networking events and meeting all different kinds of people.
There's so many people out there that are just great to be with, and you just don't know till you get out there. Of course, I'm getting old and tired, so I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we need to take a short break. You've been listening to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you for listening again.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit CC.
The Guild for Exceptional Children, or GEC, has been providing excellent care to children and adults with developmental disabilities since 1958. It is our mission to help build better lives and brighter futures for the people in our care. We serve nearly 1,000 individuals each day and are proud that 90 cents of every dollar is used for actual services. Please visit www.gecbklyn.org or call 718-833-6633 to learn more.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer again with me, Mike Connors, now accompanied by my wife, Beth.
Hi, everybody.
And son, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so the other day, Beth, you and I were at a dinner at Legatus, and there were a couple of Sisters of Life that were at the dinner, and we've had more than a few Sisters of Life on our radio show over the years.
Right.
And Michael, I think we should try to get somebody else again back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Beth, you want to take the ball now?
Well, we had a lovely dinner. We get together once a month, and the speakers were from the Sisters of Life. And they talked about how in New York City they've got two separate convents that take care of the people. One where they actually house some women that stay through the term of their pregnancy, and sometimes a little bit longer. And another one where the people come and they come and go, but get what they need to get through the pregnancy. And I'm saying that very, not very well, but the most important thing was that they were there in any event for women who choose not to abort a child. And these children, you know, I think what they were saying, which would just hurt me the most, was they wear their habits, and people are not very nice to them when they talk about, you know, saving the babies, you know, and the mamas who choose to have the babies. And I think that's very, very sad. I think it's a sad commentary on our society. You would think that would be something people would want to do. So they were talking about the different things and how they try to get things done. And then they were talking about what happens when a woman gets pregnant, and oh my goodness, they it's unexpected, and rape and incest, those things were brought up. And I wanted to tell a story because I think it's one of the most remarkable and loving stories. One of my very best friends from high school got in touch with me, and her son and his girlfriend were in high school at the time. And his girlfriend was just viciously raped one day. And, of course, you know, time went by and her family and my friend's family, it was my friend's son. They, you know, they were very close and they were close with each other and close in their church. And then what happened, they found out that the girl had gotten pregnant from this event. And it was twins. And the families got together and the girl said, you know, this is, it's my babies. You know, I don't care. You know, this is, maybe this is what God wants. And that was their attitude. And the families got together and the boy and girl got married, you know, early as they're going off to college. But, two beautiful girls were born and they were mixed race. And, my girlfriend, you know, one of the grandmothers, they all just raised them like they're part of our family. And they're grown up. They're beautiful girls. They're in college and they're just perfect, perfect children. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I know incest is something that you think, oh, my goodness, just hardly doesn't get worse than that. But for this young girl and boy to say, you know, this is a life, this is one of God's children, and in this case two of God's children, and they marry and they raise, and you know, they had other children, but I mean, that's a love story. And that's the thing that you should say, look, if something happens, someone gets pregnant out of wedlock, whatever, don't make it a horrible thing. Families come together, try to just say, oh, well, we'll get through this and we'll have in love this wonderful child.
And if I may, you know, in circumstances, you know, that are less traumatic than rape, you've got all sorts of people that say, oh, well, you know, everything is put on the woman. And it's like, well, yes, much of it is put on the woman because of how society is today. And you know what? The men should be taking responsibility, too. That is a social concern that is absolutely horrific. You know, if you're a man and you get a woman pregnant, then you should stand up and be a man. Take care of the child.
Well, it's love. It's all about love.
Let's just wrap this up with this, but I found particularly insulting an ad with Chuck Schumer where he's talking about a woman didn't want to have a baby with a man she didn't have a strong relationship with it. I cringed when I heard that. If that's what the Democrats need to do to campaign to win elections, we're in trouble in this country. We are in trouble in this country. But if the main reason people are going to get elected is so that people have the ability to be aborted at any time, abortion on demand, for any reason, not just for rape, incest, or the health of the mother, this country's in trouble, and let's pray for this country, and we need to take a short break.
Do you know how many Christians live in the Middle East? 6 million people. Do you know how many Christians need your help? Every single one. Do you know what we can do? With St. Francis in Beirut, we can give them hope. We can give them medicines. We can give them medical equipment. We can give them everything they're looking for because some others decided to remove Christianity from the Middle East. But if we will help them every single day, not just to feed them or clothing, it's all about giving them another day with the idea that they are recognized, that we love them, they're our cousins, sisters, they're our roots. So St. Francis in Beirut, it's all about helping Christians. And you can be part of that help too.
If you want to help Father Paul in his mission, send your donations to St. Francis in Beirut, 213 Stanton Street, New York, New York, 10002.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home?
What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors & Sullivan in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, or connorsandsullivan.com.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors, now accompanied by my son, Michael.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Now, we're having seminars at the end of October, and for some reason you missed the seminars. You know, don't feel like you're left out. You can always call for an appointment. We do not charge for the initial consultation. The first consultation is free on anything we're talking about as far as estate planning and elder law. And sometimes come in. Yeah, it's good to go to a seminar because we talk generally. And we may or may not answer your question. Of course, if you ask the question, we're going to answer it. But if you come in specifically, let's say you have a delicate matter, you have a child who's disabled, you have a child with a criminal record, and those are not the type of things where necessarily you want to, you know, ask a question in public, please feel free to schedule an appointment. We do not charge for the initial consultation. The first consultation is free. And almost everything we do as far as estate planning and elder law is in a flat fee basis. Sometimes if we get involved in litigation, we may charge by the hour, but usually anytime we're doing the planning, for the most part, we do on a flat fee basis, unless you have an extremely complicated plan, you know, millions and millions of dollars and property in different states and so forth. So if you want to call for an appointment, give our office a call, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. We have two offices in Queens, in Bayside and Middle Village. We have an office in Staten Island. We have an office in Manhattan. And our main office is in Brooklyn. And people ask me, where do I go? I go to, you know, each office 3-4 times a month minimum. Brooklyn, I'm here a little bit more often because I live in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and my office
and remember,
is a few blocks
Brooklyn,
away.
Brooklyn has the best artwork, so remember that too.
Yeah, if you want to watch the military miniatures, and again, we can have the debate over toy soldiers and military miniatures, but if you want to see the military miniatures, come to the Brooklyn office. We can arrange a tour. Some of the employees are not crazy about that, but who cares? If you want a tour of the military miniatures, schedule a tour and we'll make somebody give you one.
They will be very polite and they will show you around, even
and,
if art
and then
is
say,
not
what,
their thing.
What am I doing? I don't know what these things are, but I can tell you what they are. So give us a call, Connors and Sullivan, at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. See you next week at the same times and stations.
Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
We are gathered here on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
We are gathered
here on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
Kevin McCullough, are you or your parents' assets protected from nursing home bills? Did you know these bills can exceed $15,000 a month? People work their entire lives to live comfortably in retirement, but when people become ill and need to go to a nursing home or receive home care, the bills can drain their assets, leaving many people bankrupt. The good news is that you can prevent that from happening if you plan in advance. Connors and Sullivan's lawyers can customize a plan that specifically protects your interests, including your home. Schedule a free comprehensive telephone consultation with Mike Connors to discuss your issues and concerns from the security of your home. Call today, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. Don't let nursing home bills take your life's savings and leave you and your loved ones bankrupt. Don't wait another minute. Mike Connors can take you through the process by telephone and start a plan designed for you today. That's 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.